There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, put your mittens on your kittens, and away we go. It's the Wednesday edition of Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Lots of ways. Well, what is lots? A few ways to talk to the show. A few very easy ways. Number one, good old-fashioned phone calls at 343-0106. 343-0106. I love the phone calls. Also, the Ascension Technologies text line, same digits, 343-0106. If y'all are not from around here, that's the 251-343-0106. Also, the talkback messages, you can leave us through the FM Talk 106.5 app by pressing that microphone icon on the front screen, like at the landing page or whatever it is of the app. Which, if you don't have the app, go grab it. It's just look for it on the App Store, Google Play, FM TALK 1065. You'll see our logo. That's the app. Download it. One of the many features on there is leaving us a talkback message. And I guess, we can go over a few. One more here, and you can send an email, Sean, S-E-A-N, at FMTalk1065.com. Good. So we get all that, whatever it is, show intro stuff done, and then we can get into what's happening on today's show. And a couple things coming. So Erica Thomas, 1890 News, is going to join me. Also, we'll talk about what you just heard in the news update there as the national parks you can get in free on Saturday as a celebration of the Great American Outdoors Act, which, by the way, interesting angle here. And we'll talk to my buddy Cameron Smith from AL.com about this in a second. So Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Right, which I'm a big fan of. You don't have to pay to get in. And that was a deal set up by governors in respective states there, like Tennessee and North Carolina, when they were setting this park up. They said, okay, well, we'll let you do this thing with the land feds, but you can't charge to get in. Like other national parks have a cover charge to get in. No dress code, I don't think. Unlike the Senate. We'll get into that in a second. But you can get in. Great Smoky Mountains National Park did not. Now, they've moved. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we're talking about Mount LeConte and some things up in the Smokies. He said, you got to have a parking pass now to park inside the park, and that's how they're getting the money. So that's, well, I guess they're going to waive that on Saturday, too. So we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Actually, I'm going to bring this guy in for all the other things I want to talk about in this hour. He's a bon vivant. Film executive, writer, attorney, dad, and pretty darn good guy. Cameron Smith with AL.com joining us now on Midday Mobile. Thanks for your time.
Sean, you forgot just generally weird. You should have gone with that.
Well, I think that's people assume that since we know each other.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Fair.
Yeah,
fair.
Assume he did that. And lots to talk about here. I'm going to start off with your column, though, because I pulled, I like to pull paragraphs out or sentences out to open up with. And y'all, here it is. So Cameron, he'll get into the title of the piece here and more, but here's the teaser. If I was going to pull a teaser quote out, here's what he writes. Just think about all the awful things Alabama fans have written on social media about Auburn. If the Tigers could read those jokes, the Yellowhammer State would descend into bedlam. So there you go, Cameron. Pick that one up and run with it.
Sean, I like to lead with something a little hot. Hot there, but this is the nature of football, right? We enjoy ribbing each other and having a good time. And the issue in question is up in Madison County, Alabama. And at a high school football game, kids, as it was determined, after 18 sheriff's deputies were on the scene, there were some kids who ran onto the field after there was smack talk that was happening prior to the game. There was no fight. There was no weapon. It was just kids behaving poorly that interrupted apparently gameplay. And they decided to respond with a new attendance policy in Madison County schools that if you're not a student, if you're from 9th to 12th grade, so it's a specific bracket of humans, and you're not affiliated with one of the participant schools, you may not attend. And if you're a middle schooler or a younger, you must have a parent. And furthermore, capacity is limited to 80%. And I looked at this stuff and said, whoa, wait a minute. This is one of the most American things ever, is a high school football game. And the only criteria for admission is that you pay admission in the first half. Most high schools let you kind of slide in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And yet what it looks like Madison County Schools did is take a page out of the COVID playbook and say, well, you know, 30 days to reduce the spread. Why don't we have distancing, capacity limitations, and things like that to deal with poor behavior? And just like a lot of those COVID restrictions, this policy doesn't actually solve the problem that they were trying to address. So I got wind of it. I saw the post on Facebook and I took a 2x4 to it because it's dumb.
Okay. So, I mean, this is up in the Huntsville area, Madison County. So you have this, and we've had the bedlam at the football games here as of late. Your problem is the response. So if you say, okay, in this case, there was no weapon, and we can talk about it, if there was a weapon or not. In other situations, this one, there was not. There was no gun. There are no injuries. But you're saying the heavy hand, it's like the COVID policy here. So instead of, like, what, enforcing the rules or, you know, tackling the kids, they're just going to limit who can be in there?
Yeah, if you're the issue is that you need to have sufficient security in place to secure the venue for fans and players alike. And when you do that, if somebody behaves poorly, you eject them and you can ban them, right? You need to address the problem. That's completely fair. But if you just say, well, you know, we got to do something, which is what happened here. And then you look at, it's like somebody cribbed a COVID policy and then just instead of COVID-19, they inserted poor behavior. And check this out. At the bottom of this new policy, in all caps, they say, if safety concerns continue, then additional restrictions for attendance will be implemented. I'm like, really? Like, this is exactly like what happened with COVID, but that's not how this works. You need to solve the problem, address problematic students who have behavior that interrupts gameplay or jeopardizes security. But this sort of, like, we didn't like the thing and it's really hard to deal with, so let's just have fewer people and no outsiders, when, as best I can tell, there's no evidence that outsiders were the cause of the problem in the first place. So it is a solution in search of a problem that undermines one of the most important events in communities throughout the country.
So, I mean, it is correct, though, on the school system's opinion. If there were no people in the stands, there would be no chance for people to rush the field. I mean, you know, you can't argue with that.
Yeah, well, this is what the gun control Nancy say, mm-hmm. is, well, if there were never any guns and we got rid of all the guns, then no one would ever die. Well, that's false, but it's sort of this mindset of, well, if we just get rid of the people part, we can solve the problem. And I'm like, y'all are just bad at your jobs. Like, if you can't do what people have done for decades in securing venues, then we need to find people who can do those things. And my concern was, hey, I think education is a local issue. If Madison County school parents think this is an acceptable policy, then fine. I just don't want it anywhere close to me or migrating to stadiums around the South. It's a bad idea.
Talking to Cameron Smith with AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. All right, let's kind of pick up a conversation we had last week, and now we are in the impeachment inquiry phase in Washington. I know also the discussion today with Jim Jordan grilling Garland as well over the Hunter Biden Burisma charges, letting those lapse. You said you wanted to make sure that Republicans did something here to get a win, didn't go in and, you know, just swing at the air on this. What do you think, with what you've heard in a week, are they doing this correctly, or what's your thought?
I'm waiting to see it. I mean, and I listened to some of the Merrick Garland hearing today, and a lot of the exchanges were imminently predictable, and they were, they were not the solid blows that I had hoped, because, hey, look, Merrick Garland's a professional. He knows how to evade some of the questions, and it was Republicans saying, you're bad, double standard of justice, you're not answering the questions we want answered, and then Democrats saying, Merrick Garland, why are you the best leader of the Department of Justice ever? And I think it's going to elicit a big yawn here, because they spent a lot of time on the Weiss special prosecutor stuff. I just think that's really hard for people to follow. And all Democrats have to say is, well, Trump appointed this guy, and then Merrick Garland let him continue his work. And Republicans have to explain why it's terrible. And I just don't see these hits landing in a way that's really beneficial to Republicans. I'm not saying they can't do it. I just am not seeing it based on what I heard in the hearing today.
Then I want to move on to what happened this week for the most austere body of the Senate and the relaxed dress code. By the way, y'all, you can see my picture in honor of the relaxed dress code in the Senate chambers. I did casual Friday on a Wednesday today, so you can see that picture up on our Facebook page. Your thoughts on that? You worked in Washington. What about this? What about the Fetterman effect?
So, first of all, with a mustache, he looks like the villain from Sonic the Hedgehog games. So that's thing one. Thing two is he does. He just does. And thing two is, what in the world is going on here? Like, this, everybody knows that there's one guy over there that dresses like a slouch, and it's Senator Fetterman. And what I think is great is when Republicans take back the Senate, which I think they have a very good chance of doing this cycle because it's very favorable to them, then they'll bring the dress code back because it's about the institution, not about the individual. That's the whole point. And what's going to be funny in the meantime is watching Fetterman in like a hoodie and mismatched shorts while Democrats try to figure out how they too take advantage of this when they know it's not a good idea. So you're going to see them in various stages of business casual, trying mm-hmm. to act like this is normal. And meanwhile, Mitch McConnell is going to go to his colleagues and say, you know what, guys, we wear suits. Any questions? No. Cool. Let's go. And Democrats are not going to look professional. It's going to be a bad look for them. They don't know what to do on this. And this was to accommodate one senator.
Okay, so, and I, of course, I wonder, maybe more prurient mind that I have, you know, I think about the hubbub over Kristen Sinema when she was in something sleeveless, which, you know, I might give thumbs up on that. The ladies of the Senate, you know, if we say, okay, Fetterman can wear this, what might we see from the ladies of the Senate? Will we see miniskirts in the Senate?
Respectfully, a lot of people don't really know what business is for women. And so they're sort of a little more flexible. For men, it's pretty straightforward. It's a suit and tie. That's how we go. So I think women have a little bit more flexibility here. They can dress a little more casually and still look respectable. I don't see Kristen Sinema or any other Democratic female senator wearing a hoodie and shorts on the Senate floor. I just think this is going to be hilarious for Democrats because you're going to have one person dressing like a slouch, like a college kid, and the rest of them are like, ugh, no, I'm not going to dress like that. And so then Republicans can have a ton of fun here by saying, you know, we see that our Senate colleagues want to be a little more casual, but we're not seeing that. And we would really encourage them to express themselves through their dress.
So I mean, you're optimistic about this because I see it, you know, I've referenced so many things that happened in our world back to the movie Idiocracy, where everything, water seeks its lowest level. And, you know, I picture now there's going to be a casual caucus out there in the Senate and the House where people dress down. There'll be what caucus? I'm in the casual caucus. Yeah, we wear pajamas.
Yeah, and I just don't see Republicans doing that. I mean, come on. Do you see Katie Britt being like, yeah, let me just throw on an Alabama hoodie and some Auburn shorts. This should be great. I mean, no, of course not. That's not going to happen. And I think Democrats are going to try to figure it out, but it's going to fail miserably because they just look deeply unserious. And you've seen the shots of John Fetterman walking around and his aides know better than to dress like that. They're at least wearing a suit. They don't have a tie on, but their boss dresses down from them. So they know that's not protocol. That's not what we do. apparently he's the only one that doesn't. So this is going to be fun. I'm loving this one.
All right, and just looking forward to next week, or looking in the future to next week, we should have the decision, isn't it, by next week? Yeah, I think so. The special master is supposed to come back with the decision on the maps here. What do you feel is getting ready to happen?
That Alabama should have done their job. When I suggested, hey, guys, there's a way to do this. You're going to have two majority black districts. They're going to be 50-some-odd percent black, and they're not going to be particularly politically drawn. And Republicans are going to yell and kick and scream and say this is awful. And the response is going to be, if you'd done your job, as opposed to listening to the Solicitor General, who was trying to set up a case to immediately boomerang back to the Supreme Court, you might have had more competitive districts and you might have a better competitive chance. Right now, I don't think that they're going to like the districts that get dropped on their head.
All right. And I guess as we part two, we did not talk over the weekend. During the Bama game, your feelings now, your feelings coming up for this weekend. Help me have some excitement here going forward for this season.
Well, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be like riding a roller coaster. It's going to be like a lot of fun and kind of scary and pretty terrible when you go upside down. Like, this is what we're in for, and we'll see. I'm excited. I roll tide regardless.
I do too.
This is going to be like watching Auburn.
Leave it at that. There he is, Cameron Smith, AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. People want to reach out to you online to start trouble or engage in trouble. How do they do that?
At the Cameron Smith on X. Just make it easy.
All right, very good, man. We'll talk next week. Or actually, we'll talk Saturday. Yeah, there he goes. And we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, the commentary here from birthday boy Dalton Orwig and Leanna was on the dress code in the Senate. Who would be the first we would see showing up in overalls, and that's it. Just the overalls, no shirt look. Probably photos would be, I probably had something else on, but no shirt in the overall. I don't know who would pull off that look. You say Katie Britt? I don't know. I don't think we get that. Here's the thing, and I'm going to weld two stories together, because when we come back, we'll talk more about Lauren Boebert, Representative Boebert. If it goes to the House, what would Boebert wear in the House? What would be the look, you know, and what would you... Who do you think in the House of Representatives, the bigger body, would you have dress more casually, Fetterman style? Dirt Digger says, Sean, what is next? Show your ink on Tattoo Tuesday. Yeah, well, maybe they'll do that. Maybe if they can dress more casually, they can show their ink. Yeah. This unnamed texter says, new Senate dress code will be a great time. Safer senators can go. Maybe senior senators can go directly to the gym, to the Senate floor, without bothering to stop and take a shower and change clothes. This means they can dress like the clowns that they actually are. David says Katie Britt would never wear Auburn shorts. At most, she would probably do Alabama sweatshirt and South Alabama sweatpants. And Jason, let's see, Jason's on. He said, my man, Kristen Sinema is ridiculously hot, independent. If Boebert red pills her, Katie bar the door. Homage to Gordon Sully. Yeah, so Kristen Sinema, I mean, remember there's a hubbub about Sinema because she wore like a sleeve. It was like a sleeveless thing. And that was the big the clutching of pearls out there. And now you've got whatever you want. It's casual every day in the Senate. We'll talk about this when we get back. Also, the Boebert thing. As more, you know, last week we're talking about that she was vaping and singing along loudly. And she was asked to leave the show there in Denver. You know, she was at Beetlejuice the Musical. She wasn't at, I was going to say Cats. She wasn't at, what's a traveling theater show that's more austere? I mean, she's at Beetlejuice the Musical. And now it's coming out there attacking her because she and her date were handsy during Beetlejuice the Musical. Right, we'll talk about this and dress code and a whole lot more when we come back on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
See if I can make it through here. I get to have extended intro music. I was hitting my hottie bites during the break there. Y'all know what these things are? Like, I've had about a 2-year obsession with these things, the jalapeno pickle chip things. And, like, there's just occasionally an outlier. Like, there's a certain amount of, like, jalapeno in each pickle, which I enjoy. But then you hit one on occasion that is just, like, atomic. And I had to pull myself together there before we went back on. All right, sorry about that. I think we can move on from here. 1236 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. We'll get to the text line here. A few of these. So Fetterman is showing disrespect for the office and his ignorance. Well, he's not showing. Yeah, he's showing disrespect for the office and at the same time his ignorance, right? Where does this go? It doesn't. I mean, it is a lot like the movie Idiocracy. You know, you watch it and you go, a lot of that stuff's coming true. The race to the bottom, a lot of that stuff is coming true. So I did in homage and in solidarity with the Senate casual. I posted up. I came in a T-shirt today, and Leanna, if you could Photoshop that, make me not look so old. That would be good. But that picture's up at our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. All right. So the Lauren Boebert stuff continues. You know, last week when we had the story, the thing that I was stuck on, the vaping and the hollering or was singing along. I don't know what decorum is at Beetlejuice, the musical. You know, I really don't. But the thing that got me last week was the quote. It's obviously what they're not focused on. I'm focused on if she truly did say, do you know who I am? That's like, if she said that, then I'm not, I can't help her out with that. But the rest of this story is of interest. So, and let me pull this quote out of it. It's insider.com. And here's how they roll this. They said, the GOP representative who has repeatedly criticized Democrats for grooming children with pro-LGBTQ+ policies and rhetoric can be seen in the clip obtained by 9 News, appearing to have her chest groped and grabbed the crotch of her date during the family-friendly performance that the Broadway League, I don't know, recommends for children 10 and up. Now, I don't know if there were, I'm looking at the video everybody's watching now. I didn't see any children sitting next to them. Maybe somebody's seen something that I haven't. But what I saw there, I mean, you could disagree with Boebert, but I didn't see, you know, there was no LGBTQ+ stuff going on there. It was all just, what is it, cisgender? Isn't that the right term? Like cisgender stuff going on. Or so, I mean, maybe she wasn't hypocritical. It wasn't gay. It wasn't bisexual. It wasn't T and Q and plus and all that. It was so, I mean, I don't know. Says Boebert being overtly fondled by her date in the middle of the musical theater performance of Beetlejuice shortly before the pair were kicked out of the show for being disruptive. Well, I don't. It wasn't Othello she was at. I don't know what we expect out of a Beetlejuice musical. I don't know. But does this hurt Representative Boebert? I don't know. So I want to hear from you on the text line. But here's some notes I made. Who would you rather hang out with from the members of Congress? If you had your choice and you said, hey, you can go out, y'all are going out on a Friday night, whatever night, and you get to go out with a member of Congress, would you go out with Representative Boebert? I'm going to say yes. How about you? Would you? I mean, I think it's going to be a good night. You might get arrested. Sure. But it's going to be a fun night. It's going to be a... There's going to be a story to tell. It says here, USA Today story. Oh, by the way, too, the date. Oh, yeah, that's the, and Leanna and I were talking about that. The date turns out to be a Democrat. So, you know, if I was going to be a good conservative talk show host, I'd say, well, it's his fault because he's, says in USA Today, Boebert said she will not be going on another date with the man she was removed from the musical with after an incident earlier this month. Boebert and the man were kicked out of the performance in the Denver theater for disruptive behavior. The incident report from the Buell Theater obtained by USA Today said two unidentified patrons received three different complaints and were accused of vaping, singing, and causing a disturbance. The patrons, the report said, later refused to leave after they were asked to exit the venue, allegedly making statements such as, "Do you know who I am?" And at that point, you're dead to me. I mean, everything else is fine. But when you pull the, "Do you know who I am?" Boebert told TMZ, okay, so here's the representative talking to TMZ at an airport in Washington, said, quote, "It's always hard whenever there's gravity put on the voters. I'm here to provide levity and lift burdens off people." Now, Representative Boebert, I don't know that you are. You're not there as comic relief. You're an elected representative, so I might disagree with that. And then it goes on further and says, "Ultimately, all future date nights have been canceled, and I learned to check party affiliations before you go on the date. But in all, it was mostly a lovely time, and I've taken responsibility for my actions." She said voters have been understanding that the moment was part of her personal life. But she goes on to say that the man who appeared in the surveillance video of the incident was a Democrat. She said, "He's a wonderful man, and it's a great time to go out to have dinner and enjoy part of the show. Now it's back to work. He's a private citizen, and we have peacefully parted at this time. Great man, great friend, and I wish him all the best." So that's tough. It's tough. That's what breaks it off. Is the would she have continued to see, you know, because she's just either in a divorce or just got divorced or whatever. Would she continue to be with this Democrat if that would not have happened at Beetlejuice the musical? I'm just trying to figure this out. All right. I can read some of these. This texture said, "Would rather see Boebert than Pelosi getting freaky at the musical." Okay. "Backstrap stacker, Matt Gaetz and Boebert. It would be a rager." That would be, okay, if we're going to pair up couples that would have a night that might end up with them with mug shots, Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, I'm going to say, Backstrap, you're on to something there. Marty says they want us all distracted. Well, that'll distract people. Your friendly neighborhood banker said, "Y'all really shouldn't be defending that woman." And to be honest with you, I'm not. This is comedy. I mean, Lauren Boebert, I don't think is the hung the moon politically in Washington, but it is interesting how this is what drives stories out there, right? Because at a certain level, it could be politics and policy and all that, but when it gets to the human, human level, that's what gets people's interest. So your friendly neighborhood banker said, "Y'all shouldn't really be defending that woman. If she were a Democrat, we'd be all over her, and rightly so." Jeff had a guy on the show that said something to the effect of what she did was somehow okay because she did it in the dark. Like, WTF kind of knowledge is that? Fair enough. Was Dirt Digger says, "Baby Boebert needs to play the Georgia Satellites for her date." Can we get that? Why don't I have that as bumper music? That's a good one. Dan says, "Oh, she's trying to throw her date under the bus now." That's kind of in a kind of backwards way. Yes. Chris and Daphne, "Senator Kennedy at a crawfish boil. Things he would say in private. What a hoot." You know, Senator Kennedy is highly entertaining. And I know a lot of it's scripted and all that, but I can't help it. I like it. Senator Kennedy is one of the, when he's speaking, I often see they'll have the whatever representative on whatever Fox News show or whatever they're talking. I'm like, yeah. When I see it, Senator Kennedy, I'm stopping. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to watch this because he is agreed, highly entertaining. Unnamed texter, has anybody coined, I can't say that. He spells Lauren Boebert differently and pronounces it differently. Dan, yo, Pelosi has, the text line, I have lost institutional control of the text line, which I kind of like, but it's, I won't read any more of those right now. Oh, here's a question as we go into the news. You see the story about, so Elon Musk and this Neuralink, like I've heard this discussed in the past. Well, now it's actually going to look for volunteers. Story from the Daily Star UK said Elon Musk's neurotechnology company Neuralink has opened the application process for people who want to be implanted with its brain-computer interface device, despite criticism over its safety. Said Tesla and ex-CEO Elon Musk, neurotechnology company Neuralink has revealed it's looking for people to try its brain-computer chip, despite fierce criticism of its deadly animal test. The company got a green light from an independent review board to start the brain-computer interface testing on people suffering with paralysis from cervical spinal cord injuries or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Musk has previously claimed that his BCI will enable someone with paralysis to use a smartphone with their mind faster than someone using thumbs. He and his company will now initiate recruitments for the first human trial of the brain implant, but neither stated the number of participants to be enrolled in the trial, which is expected to span 6 years. During the study, a robot will implant the chip in a brain region responsible for intention to move. Musk's aim is for the person's thoughts to control a computer cursor or keyboard. Now, yeah, and I understand this. I don't want to be linked up to the Neuralink either. But, you know, the amount of drugs that we would green light, I mean, if there was a drug out there that you thought could help somebody with paralysis, it wouldn't be so shocking, would it? We'd be like, oh, okay, well, it's just, you know, it's a pill or it's medicine or, you know, some kind of something they would do. It'd be fine. But the idea of having like an SD card popped in your head, we all recoil from that. I don't know. If you had that, would you try that? Do you go Neuralink with it if you thought it could help you? All right, coming right back. 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. I want to check in with my friend Anna over at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Get an update on a couple things. But first of all, y'all got this event, the dog event coming up this weekend, and y'all are going to be out there doing what? How are you bringing the store out to the dog event, Anna? What's happening?
Yes, so it's called the Gulf Coast Pet Fest. This is the first one they're doing ever. So we'll be there. We're one of the vendors. They're going to have food trucks up out there. We're going to have a table set up, and we're going to have one of our dogs, Shark, the little dachshund there with us, helping us man the table. We're basically bringing a little bit of the shop there, some pet-related things like jewelry. We'll have dog tags. We'll have, you know, bullion pop culture stuff out there. So if you've never seen our store before, that's a good time to come out and meet and greet. And also, we're going to have freebies, so free merch. We're going to have free treats for your pets, dogs, and cats. And we'll have some human treats, too.
Very good. And this is where?
This is at the Medal of Honor Park out at Hillcrest Road and Cottage Hill. We're going to be by the picnic area, I believe, right where the playground is. And it's Saturday, September 23rd, so this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
All right. Now, you said you'll have some of the items from the store out there. Let's talk even the things that are going to be back at the store, because of responsible people like you that would think about Christmas shopping here in September. What's trending? What's hot for gift ideas?
We've had several people come in. Something that I haven't seen people do in a while is go ahead and, you know, put their coins into a bezel and wear around their neck. That hasn't happened for at least probably 5 to 6 years now. It's very rare, but it's gained some popularity again. And I think it's one of those trends that people want to have something tangible to hold on to, just that they can wear and have on them at all times.
All right. Well, tell folks if they want to check out the gift items in person or come see y'all on remote, how do they find you?
They're going to find us at 2204 Government Street. And I tell people it's between the Whataburger on Highway 90 and the Popeyes or the train tracks at the Loop. We're kind of smack in the middle between the two. Or if you know where Little Flower Catholic School and Church is, we're just a block north from there. Oh, sorry, it's not north, it's east.
Yeah, or you can just Google and map Mobile Bay Coins and
yeah,
find jewelry.
Better off just Google it and get directions from Google, yes.
There you go. All right, Anna, we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Anna checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Yeah, CB Carl, I agree with you. So CB Carl had texted, I saw the video of her being thrown out. She looked like she was being a real bee. Yeah, and if she said, do you know who I am? I mean, that out of all the things that happened with the Boebert thing, that's the thing that, like, you lose me if you do it. You know who I am? Who cares? Don't, you know. Backstrap Stacker said, I'd love to get hammered with Pelosi and record all her trade secrets. I'd love for you to do that too, Backstrap, and then call me the next morning and say, all right, here's what you need to buy. Here are the stocks you need to buy. Is it still up on X? Remember the Pelosi's stock tracker back when it was on Twitter? It's the same thing as X now, but is that still up? Remember that? Dalton and I would look at that thing and like see what she was buying. My man Wayne said, good afternoon, Sean. I wonder if Beetlejuice is anything like the 1970s Saturday night at the Saturday night at midnight showing of the Rocker Horror Picture Show at the Bel Air Cinema. Talk about audience participation. I don't know. That's actually a good point. So the behavior detailed by Representative Boebert at the Beetlejuice show would be tame. Would be tame if you thought about I don't know if it's like Rocky Horror Picture Show or not. I don't know, Wayne, but you're right. That's true. So unnamed texture. So Department of Ag is increasing SNAP by 12.5% to keep up with prices, but Bidenomics is working and inflation is slowing. Right. You know, and I talked a little bit yesterday with Representative District 2, Barry Moore, about the farm bill. And of course, you know, the farm bill, the bulk of that is like SNAP, you know, there's assistance programs. Actually, I saw something from Senator Tuberville came out on that. But we're going to talk more about the farm bill. I know that it's kind of back burner right now because of everything else going on in Washington. But I've been trying to get folks on the last month or two. You know, there's every 5 years they go back and reauthorize the farm bill. And it is a huge, huge spending bill. And it's something I've talked about in my family and you know, come from an ag family. What has meant to them in the past, but it has changed in the parts of the farm bill. I mean, Senator Tuberville arguing, you know, with where the money's going in this bill. So we'll analyze it more. Maybe we'll get the senator to come on with me and talk about the farm bill as well. But it sounds like, talking to Representative Moore yesterday, that it's kind of back-burnered right now because of everything else going on. Let's see. Supermom. Hey, Supermom. Said, I'd buy a beer for Representative Dan Crenshaw, I'm sure. I'd like his service stories. Yeah, and he is, I don't know, Supermom, if you follow him on Instagram, he's probably on X too, but I see his stuff on Instagram more. He's not predictable, and that's something I like. There's a lot of elected officials that get on, and they just, like, they're reading from the script. They're always going to be this way. Like, they always follow party doctrine. They're just spitting out the talking points, and I know for some people that's they like that stuff. It ends up boring me after a while. Dan Crenshaw does come off as genuine, and even with deference to his service for our country as a SEAL, obviously that proceeds. But that doesn't just because he was a SEAL and he was, you know, injured and lost an eye and maybe will end up losing vision in his other eye from serving our country. He's an interesting guy, and sometimes he says things that go against the orthodoxy with the Republican Party, but they're well thought out. You can disagree with, but well thought. Dan Crenshaw is somebody that I do enjoy. Like, there's very few politicos that I follow on outside of, like, on X and my work stuff, but on my personal accounts, I don't follow a lot of them because it's just the same old stuff. But Dan Crenshaw definitely is somebody that makes you think, and you can agree, disagree, but he is he thinks it through. Also, update. Remember, I've been on this Amtrak story here that the Amtrak trains go faster than the freight trains, and people have been getting hit and killed in some cases because, I don't know, you train track jumpers, like, think you know how fast the train's going, and now these trains are going faster. Well, they're back at this. About a month and a half ago, we had a story about the enforcement on this where they're trying to catch people jumping the train tracks. From Fox 10, it says Amtrak is set to restart passenger service along the Gulf Coast next year. Officials are taking this time to urge people to pay attention to the warnings around the tracks. Let's see. Said earlier this year, we saw several train versus car incidents across the area. Three of them involved Amtrak trains while they were doing test runs between here and New Orleans. This fatal accident at Navco Road near Dog River Drive. Officials want to make sure the incidents don't happen again. Yeah, I mean, they were just doing test rides. and end up hitting people. So I guess they are coming back here. It says Operation Lifesaver and Amtrak are teaming up with local law enforcement for Operation Clear Track. Okay, that's the operation. Officers from Mobile Police Department, ALEA, and Amtrak Police. Did you know there were Amtrak police? Amtrak police, the train police. Please tell me they wear cotton ticking caps, those things. But they were stationed at different railroad crossings between Mobile and Pascagoula to pass out information and, if need be, issue drivers a citation or warning if they go around the stop arms. Just in general, I can help y'all. Quit doing that. Quit doing that. There you go. That's the pamphlet for me. Y'all don't do that. All right, coming back next hour, Erica Thomas, 1819news.com, joins us, and a whole lot more. Y'all stay right there.